Greetings from El Montecito Presbyterian Church, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find it to be meaningful and relevant. We are located at 1455 East Valley Road in Santa Barbara, California. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us by phone at 805-969-5041 or visit us on our website at www.elmopress.org. And now, may God bless you as you give attention to His Word.
Let us give our full attention to the reading of God's Word. You can follow it on page 4 of your devotional guide. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and starting at verse 6. And I've chosen the New King James Version for our reading this morning. It's entitled, The Cheerful Giver. Hear the word of the Lord. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you were enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. And now I'm going to ask you to turn in your devotional guide to the call to worship, and we're going to repeat it as a prayer for the preaching of God's word. And I do this because 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is like the cause, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is the effect. So keep your mind on cause and effect. So join me in this response of prayer. You know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. We therefore seek to excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love. Lord, please hear and answer our prayer in this hour of gathered worship. Amen. You may once or more been inside the Hoover Dam. What a remarkable thing that is. The mighty Colorado River is jammed up behind what was once the highest lake wall in the world. And as you enter into the bowels of that wall, there is a long hall humming with something like 20 massive generators, dynamos. The whole place is so spotless you could eat your breakfast off the floor and somebody would clean up right behind you. And then you come out of the bowels of the earth and you see striding across the landscape in steps bigger than football fields, the great pylons carrying the precious commodity right into your home so that you can flick a switch and there's light and there's energy and warmth. Now that is actually a very finite provision, isn't it? That electricity from Hoover Dam is limited in its capacity. It can only provide that number of megawatts of electricity. And it's constantly in jeopardy, as we discovered during the fires and the mud, the debris slides. It's very limited because of many things that can go wrong with it. It sometimes gets shorted out by a bird, for example. Now, Paul here speaks about a provision that is inexhaustible and a provision that can never be in jeopardy. We read about it as the cause of our giving, the giving of our lives in worship, and that includes money, as we'll see. He speaks of it because it's a provision that is provided by God from eternity through the Lord Jesus Christ in time. So nothing can go wrong with it because God is outside of our creation. There's no way that anything in this creation can affect it because it is happening from outside of anything that could possibly affect it. And so it is a provision which is astonishing, and you gathered, I hope, some sense of astonishment in the reading of the Word of God. Just that call to worship, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor for your sake. He embraced poverty in order that you might be wealthy. Now that alone is enough to startle you and to say, what? And to fire the and ignite the fires of gratitude in you, so that your worship is infused with a sense of awe that God has done something from eternity that impacts me right where I am in every circumstance of my own living. Some may think that because it is so all-embracing, maybe it's a little bit hyperbolic. You know, it's like a politician promising everything to everyone, everywhere. You just know it's not going to happen, so why they do it, only they know. I suppose it works, that's why. So is the Apostle Paul just making some sort of abundant promise just to impress us? Just listen to it again. Our text is 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. There's nothing left out there, and you're starting to think, this is just hyperbole. But you see, it's not. If anything, it's understated, not overstated. The provision of grace is from an infinite God, and so there's an infinite supply. From outside of eternity, so there can be no disruption. And the only thing short-circuiting this whole process is you with your lack of faith. You refuse to flick the switch that turns on the light. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul is actually discussing money. He's raising money for the poor in Jerusalem. And he's saying to them, you need to be generous, and here's why. Because God has been so generous towards you. And what he does is so fascinating, isn't it? Because he casts it as a subset. Money as a subset of this much larger dynamic of life. A subset of a principle that finds its stimulus in God's own heart and now is carried through into your heart and into your behavior. And so he elevates this secular necessity for money into a high spiritual region and lays down a broad general law that actually impacts all of our living, not just our money. Impacts our time. It impacts how we use gifts, how we spend not just our money, but how our lives are spent. That impacts not just our budget in the bank, but every aspect of our living. And he then demolishes the boundaries between sacred and secular. And he says, everything that is sacred better have a secular outworking, and everything that is secular has got a sacred root, a sacred beginning. And if you don't have those two things married in your mind and in your practice, you haven't grasped the essential feature of the gospel itself, which is that from eternity, God reached down into time, and eternity as a sacred entity of God's residence is now fully involved in time, the secular place of our residence. So I don't want to sell you snake oil this morning as a chattering parrot. But let's grasp the essential nature of this thing, which comes from God himself and therefore cannot be over-exaggerated. And so the two scriptures are in perfect synergy and symmetry as cause and effect. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say maybe you know the electricity that Jesus, as the infinite Hoover Dam, produces. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And the effect is this, threefold. The first is that you now have a provision that is inexhaustible. God is providing for you, and there is no limit, no circuit breakers in the system, because it can carry the entire load without breaking down. And it's a provision that then is inexhaustible. Secondly, it leads to a practice that is inevitable. If that is so, if I've got an inexhaustible source of energy, then I am going to have the practice that I affirmed in the call to worship, that I want to excel in every work of goodness and of love and of energy. Because it's not my energy being expended, it's the energy coming from God into my life. That's the energy that we're talking about. And then thirdly, it leads to a principle that is inescapable, and namely that you will abound in these things. So very briefly, let's go through them. Number one, you have a provision that is inexhaustible. The Greek in that text starts with the verb God, with the verb able. Able is God. And whenever the Greek puts a word first in the sentence, it's to stress it. And it is saying, able is God to provide you with everything you need. And that's the stress that we've got to keep in focus for the entirety of our living. It's not that I am able to do these things. God is the one who is able. And it's His ability that I've got to focus on, not my ability. Able is God to provide grace, abounding grace, an inexhaustible source from the mightiest source. He's upholding it and providing it through His Word. And just as our building code in the USA requires every new home to have an electric outlet every 10 feet, God has a building code. And it's much better than one every 10 feet. It's that the supply comes right to you, right where you are, and you are plugged in without the need of any outlets. You are the outlet, if I can put it that way. And this tells us something, that grace is not something sort of passive. I don't know what you think of when you think of the word grace, but maybe you just think of like a general sense of contentment and a little eerie spiritual feeling, sort of when you've taken a painkiller that's too strong for you, that sort of feeling. Grace is an active principle. Grace is God in action. And here He is now, God coming in action right into your life to say, let's work this out together. And that's why there will be an abundance of good works and of energy and of love, because it's got nothing to do with feelings, but everything to do with God at work. And how interesting it is that it's not something that we have to prize out of God's hand because He's tight-fisted, and as we can open it, there'll be a little squirt of grace. It's from the open, crucified hands of Jesus. You can't get a hand more open than one that's nailed to be open. From that comes the abundance of the wealth of God to touch you in your poverty. And so it leads to this inevitable consequence that the energy for godly living is constantly being supplied with the grace from the mighty flow of God's immeasurable heart. And you notice again, in all things, there's not one little aspect of your life that is not under this compulsion of God's grace. Not when you get up feeling grumpy, nor when you get up on a blue Monday and face the horrors of a week to come. Not when you go through great grief or great pain or great sorrow. In all of it, God's grace is there, right there, in all things. And it's at all times, having everything you need. There's a sufficiency of it. There'll never be a lack or a shortfall. And it's not just that you're going to have what you need, which would be, you know, a bit of a selfish concept. I just need to keep my little room warm this evening. But it's going to make you competent in abounding in good works, so that you want to warm everybody in life with the presence of God. You want to love everybody with God's love. And the only reason I might find it hard to love somebody is because I'm trying to do it with my love. The grace that comes from eternity floods you with God's love, which you now pass on. So you will abound in these things. And it will be, he says, this principle that is inescapable. Abound is a word of exuberant abundance, isn't it? There will be an abundance of quantity of good works, because everything you do is a good work. Or if I can change that around, you are actually God's good work in your world. Wherever you go, you are God. And I mean that in the sense that His presence is with you. And when you find yourself in a situation that is beyond your ability or capability, you don't say, oh, poor me, this is the end of the road for me. You say, able is God, who can make His presence abound in this situation. And you flick the switch, and the light comes on, and His energy flows. So if you're feeling lethargic, well then, go and do something for God, and the energy will come to you. As long as you're lying on the couch, you'll stay without energy. And this will be very different for those who are young and strong in body and can get out and do things. There are some who are entering the last phases of their life, and where it's not possible to be out and about with energy, but it's possible to be filled with God's energy where you are in order to do different things to what those young people are able to do. So nobody is excluded, and it's not a physical thing at all. It's a spiritual thing. You can become a prayer warrior second to none. Devote yourself saying, God, I want to learn how to pray. Maybe you've been asking that all your life. Now's your opportunity. You can start communicating the insights of your maturity and wisdom and your knowledge of the Scriptures as you reach out to everybody around you. Through notes and letters and conversations that you initiate. Be interested in everyone who comes across your path, all of us, and you will find energy for these things, and your appetite will grow. I want more. I want more of that energy. Therefore, let me expend more. because more comes when I need it. So you gather that this energy is not sort of the energy of a bodybuilder just building muscle for the sake of being on show. It is the sinewy, strong muscle of a ditch digger. That's what's in mind here. Now remember that this whole issue is actually a conversation about money. Isn't that amazing? Money is a good work. So what good works can you do with your money? If God hoarded His grace the way the world hoards its money, we would still be strangers to forgiveness and love and joy and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We would be without His influence, and this whole world would be a much darker place because God was hoarding His resources. What can you accomplish by giving Him control of your money? A lot of people don't like that question to be asked. Because money represents, in a sense, the spiritual index of your heart. If you're stingy with your money, in the grace of this giving, I can guarantee you that you're tight-fisted virtually in every other aspect of your life. So this call to generosity spurs us on to listen with our hearts to the needs of the kingdom and of this world and say, I will be generous in my money and I will be generous in my energy and most of all, I will be generous with my love because it's not mine ultimately, it is God's. Now, grace is therefore not this passive feeling of benevolence. Grace in you is the exertion of God's muscle to achieve a remarkable outcome. Grace is not you flicking the switch to light a flickering light bulb that sheds a dim light in penetrating darkness. That is faith. Faith flicks the switch. Grace is the whole system of production from God's generosity in giving His Son who humbled Himself to the death on the cross in order that you might be a partaker of His poverty. Grace is the dynamo embedded in the towering lake wall, the striding pylons to your very home, so that when you flick the switch of faith, light floods the darkness, your own, and the darkness wherever you go, because there is darkness wherever you go, but you are bringing light, God's light. And so you've got to understand, and it's vital to understand, you are part of that great system in order that God may illuminate you and your world so that you can, as you committed yourself in the call to worship, excel in being God's good work. Let us pray together. Lord God, many have heard this truth on many occasions, but have never reached out with a trembling hand to flick the switch. And so they know about God's grace intellectually and have observed it, but have never experienced it. Won't you reach out a trembling hand and accept God's grace into your life this morning? Do it now. Lord God, many here feel this morning that there's a circuit that has been blown in their system and somehow the grace is not reaching them. They're living in a sort of grey blackout of life. May they fix their eyes on Jesus and reach out and flick that switch and let Him flood that dark feeling or the circumstance that is overwhelming them. Why don't all of us do that? Just reconnect with the grace of God as it comes right into our lives at this moment. And so all of us reaffirm this grand truth and ask that every day this week we may feel fresh in the grace of God and energized to be His good work. And thank You that this place of worship is so powerful in reminding us of these things. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Amen.